Good morning, everyone, and happy Easter. Well, you can see behind me this painting, this picture that was done by one of our neighbours, one of the children. And there's lots of these paintings around Enderby today and around Thurlaston and around lots of towns and villages. And they're symbols of hope, aren't they? And that's the question I have for us this morning. Where is our hope? What is the thing that we're putting our hope in? And that's the question that this passage this morning poses to us. Where is our hope? But it doesn't just pose the question, it actually offers us true and real and lasting hope for the future. And the hope is based on the event described in Mark chapter 16. So let's have a look at Mark chapter 16 now together and see what is happening here. Some women are on their way to the tomb where they had seen Jesus buried. And what do you think they are expecting to find? They're bringing spices to anoint Jesus' body. They're wondering as they travel along, who's going to roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? So what do you think they're expecting? Their king is dead and they're going on funeral business, aren't they? To bring an end to this tragic little drama. They're expecting death, but they encounter life. What they encounter is this news, that Jesus, who was crucified, he is risen. Actually, it's come as such a surprise for them, hasn't it? Do you see in verse 4, they look up, and to their surprise, the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. So they nervously make their way into the tomb. And verse 5, as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side. And as they saw this, they were alarmed. Well, you would be, wouldn't you? This man, dressed in white, is an angel. And the angel says, don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. Well, what does this mean? That Jesus, who was crucified, has risen. Well, it means, doesn't it, first of all, that Jesus is God's King. He is who he claimed to be all through the gospel. And Christians believe that Jesus not only died for our sins, but that he rose again and defeated death. And do you know why this is so important? Not only because it shows us that Jesus is God's King, but it shows us that those who trust in Jesus will live, even though they die too. That's what Jesus said in John 11. Listen to this. I am the resurrection and the life. Everyone who believes in me will live, even though they die. So here's the question for us. Do we believe it? Mark is prompting a reaction in us, isn't he? He wants to know, how will we respond to the news that Jesus is risen? I'm sure you noticed our reading ended at verse 8. And if you've got a Bible open in front of you, you can see that there are some verses after verse 8. Well, these verses were added at a later stage by some well-meaning Christians who just found Mark's abrupt ending a little bit too sudden. But actually, Mark's ending is very deliberate. His intention is to leave us asking what's going to happen next. It's a very deliberate ending. We've been travelling along this road with Mark through his gospel. And if you can picture it as a road, it suddenly comes to this very abrupt stop. And so we're left with a sense of the road must continue, the story must carry on. So the Christians who added these verses were in a sense responding to what Mark had done. But Mark doesn't want us to continue the story with more words. He wants us to continue the story with our own lives. And so he's asking us the question, how will we respond to the news that Jesus, who was crucified, he is risen? Well, we can see here how the women respond. They're very scared, aren't they? Terrified. In verse 8, it says, trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. They're running away. They're so frightened they can't even speak. That's their reaction to the resurrection. What is your reaction? Mark is asking. It's the question that Jesus asks as well, implicitly, when he says in John chapter 11, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live. So his question is, do you believe in me? Because if you do, then Jesus' death is your death. Jesus' resurrection is your resurrection. A Christian is someone who is united to Jesus Christ. He died for your sins, and his resurrection means that you too will live, even though you die. And can you see that all of a sudden this changes everything? Jesus' resurrection is the beginning of real hope for the future. What you do with this message that God is telling you in his Bible is the difference between hope in flimsy things that will not last and certain and real hope for the future. Jesus, who was crucified, has risen. And Jesus' resurrection is the beginning of real hope for the future. Just look down at verse 6. Don't be alarmed, he said. You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. Well, the angel doesn't just say, Jesus has risen. He's resurrected, full stop. No, you see what he says? He says, Jesus died and he's risen. Now go. It's game on. This is the beginning of real hope for the future. Hope for the future that makes a difference now, today. He's saying, yes, you saw Jesus crucified. Yes, you saw him being buried, but he's risen from the dead. Look, he's not where he was buried. Now go. Jesus' resurrection is the beginning of real hope for the future. Now, I'm sure you know, funerals, there is a point in the service when we pay tribute to the person who has died. We recollect things about them and their life, things they've achieved, things they've enjoyed. And of course, it's right, isn't it, that we stop and we honour the memory of that person. But sometimes I get the impression with family and friends that what we're doing is looking for things that will give us hope. And so people will list the amazing achievements of this person. They'll tell of the career that was established, of the family that they took care of the marriage and of the holidays they enjoyed. And yet, at the end of it all, there is this sense of it doesn't work. It doesn't give us the hope that we're looking for. And these things in our lives that we rely on don't give us true and real lasting hope. But a Christian person has a living Saviour. A Christian person knows the one who has risen from the grave and defeated death. And so the best tribute that could be given for a Christian is that they believed in Jesus, the resurrection and the life. And because they believed, they live, even though they may have died. Jesus' resurrection is the beginning of real hope for the future. But more than that, Jesus' resurrection makes a difference today. So what difference does it make for us today? If Jesus' resurrection is the beginning of real hope for the future, then this life is not all that there is. Think about the world that we live in. Why is it so hard to deal with suffering? Why is it so hard to live with sickness? Why is it so hard to do the right thing when we know it's going to cost us our reputation, our money, or even our life? Why is it so hard to deal with death? Because we think that this life is the only life we have. We live as if this life is the only life we'll ever have. We think this money is the only money we'll ever have. This body is the only body we'll ever have. But if Jesus is raised from the dead, then there is so much more. Tim Keller, in his book called King's Cross, tells this story of a lady called Joni, who was paralysed at the age of 17 from the neck down in a terrible accident. But she was a Christian and she went to a Christian convention, and the speaker asked people there to kneel down to pray. And of course, Junie couldn't kneel down, but she started to cry. And she tells us that the reason she was crying was not self-pity and because she couldn't kneel. But the reason she was crying is because she said she was watching hundreds and hundreds of people bowing before their king. And this is what she said. "Sitting there, I was reminded that in heaven, I will be free to jump up, dance, kick, and do aerobics. And sometime before the guests are called to the banquet table at the wedding feast of the Lamb, the first thing I plan to do on resurrected legs is to drop on grateful, glorious knees. I will quietly kneel at the feet of Jesus. I, with shriveled, bent fingers, wasted muscles, broken knees, and no feeling from the shoulders down, will one day have a new body. Light, bright, clothed in righteousness, powerful and dazzling. Can you imagine the hope that the resurrection gives someone like me?" See, the resurrection changes everything, doesn't it? It means that this life is not all that there is. It means that this money is not all that there is. It means this body that you have is not the only body you're ever going to have. This life you have is not the only life you're ever going to have. And if you know that someday you will be really complete, redeemed in a resurrected life, then it doesn't matter if you have the right house, the right life, the right spouse, the right family, the right holidays, the right career. If you're a Christian, then you know that Jesus, who was crucified, is risen. And you know that Jesus' resurrection is the beginning of real hope for the future. So you don't need to worry about finding hope in all that other stuff. You don't have to live as if they really are everything. You can follow Jesus and face anything, even life in a wheelchair, with real joy and real hope. Because the resurrection means that all the brokenness, all the pain, and all the suffering will be gone. So what about you? Do you believe that Jesus died for your sins? And do you believe that he rose again from the grave and gives us hope? And if you do, then is that hope making a difference in your life today? Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Everyone who believes in me will live, even though they die." Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that Jesus came to die for our sins in our place. And we thank you that Jesus, who was crucified, has now been raised. And we thank you that in his resurrection, we have the beginning of real hope for the future. Hope that we can have today. And so we ask, Father, that you would help us to live lives of real hope in the one who died and has risen. For your glory and for our good. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to go back now to Jerry to continue in prayer.